Hello and welcome back to the Deus Ex podcast, the Innovations Edition, where we share daily top headlines on innovations and startups on the rise from the most recognized business and tech journals and magazines. In today's news, you will hear about EF, a UK talent investor startup that raised $150 million. Letho, the startup creator of an innovative finger-worn control device for smart home. GPT-2, a software which is too dangerous to make public, and it was built by a company backed by Elon Musk. And finally, Vario, one of the most discussed VR startups on the planet that finally hit the market. So today we start with EF. EF is a London-headquartered talent investor that recruits and backs individuals, pre-teams and pre-ideas, to enable them to fund startups. And they recently raised $150 million to continue scaling globally. They are operating now in Bangalore, Berlin, Hong Kong, London and Singapore, and Paris. And this new fund is one of the largest pre-seed funds they ever raised. And it will enable them to back more than 2,200 individuals who join from various programs over the next 3 coming years. So this fund will translate in the creation of around 300 plus venture-backed companies, which is 3 times more the number of startups that EF has helped create since they were launched in 2011. And by the way, the company was founded in 2011 by McKinsey colleagues Matt Clifford and Alice Bentink. So they are super happy because this is EF's largest pre-seed funds ever raised, and it will enable the talent investor to back more than 2,200 individuals who join in its various programs over the next 3 coming years. So up next we have Letho. Letho is a new hardware and software startup, and it was developed by Nat Martin and Charlie Bruce, and what they created was an innovative finger-worn device that controls about anything in terms of AR, VR, smart home devices and other IoT devices. So according to the founders, there's a bridge between the physical and the digital world, and smartphones are not ready to do this bridge. In terms of the physical being more digitally connected, we see lights, thermostats, door locks, which are all smart devices. And in terms of the other way around, we have the advent of AR, where digitally is becoming more physically anchored in the real world. And smartphones, according to them, were designed to interact with the 2D content on screens, and therefore they struggle to make the leap. So Letho is here to make the leap, and according to them, and it connects via Bluetooth to a smartphone or an AR headset. The controller has a capacity of touch surface on the underside, and it allows for precise 2D input, scrolling, tapping, and also it has a motion of sensors and provides haptic feedback. Letho SDQ uses the development platform of Unity, the 3D game. And it's really impressive because it can not only identify the direction of where the person is pointing, but also what they are pointing in the real world. And this is their main point of differentiation, the fact that it's connected to the real world and it's designed from the ground up for 3D interactions. So instead of having the frustrating interface, developers can actually create precise and yet effortless interactions in the 3D spaces. So this was designed for either architects and designers that want to create 3D models in the context of the real world, even gamers that if they want to create, a park, a virtual theme park, they can be actually in the park and just do the pointing and drawing. And even at home, to use the smart home devices, the user just needs to point and then swipe to, for example, dim the lights. So let me know what you think and share any comment that you have about this device. I think personally it will be very, very successful, but I would love to hear your opinion. I've spoken with a friend, for example, this morning that was saying that perhaps the device won't be useful because we will have the voice, like the way we control Alexa. And up next, we have a very interesting news about an artificial intelligence text generator software that was built by a company backed by Elon Musk. But this software is too dangerous to make public. So I was very excited to share this one with you because I think it's not usual to see something that software that is so powerful that it's been rejected to go public because it may fall on the wrong hands. And in this case, we are speaking about GPT-2, which is a text generator that was created by OpenAI. OpenAI is a non-profit artificial intelligence research group, and they created this software called GPT-2, which is an AI system, and it's fed with text or anything from few words to a whole page, and then we ask the software to write the next few sentences or pages based on the predictions of what it should come next after the sentence or words or the whole page that we fed the system with. And the algorithm was trained with 8 million web pages, and the results are incredible. It's better than what has been ever done before, and it's amazing. I'll give some examples of what you can feed on the system and what the system would give to you. But the reason why GPT-2 is groundbreaking, it's because of two things. It's its size, which Dario, a model, OpenAI's research director, says that it's 12 times bigger, and the data set is 15 times bigger and much broader than the previous state-of-art AI models. And at the same time, it's far more general purpose than the previous text models, because by structuring the text that is the input, it can perform tasks such as translating, summarization, and pass simple reading comprehension text, and many others. The core concerns around this system is that it can be unstoppable at generating quantities and quantities of fabricated news that are fake or impersonate people online even. So as to give you an example, if you feed it with the opening line of George Orwell's 1984, it recognizes the vaguely futuristic tone, and it recognizes that it's a novelistic style. So the first line of the novel goes as this: "It was a bright cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 30. So the system reads this sentence, and it continues with the following: "I was in my car on my way to a new job in Seattle. I put the gas in, put the key in, and then I let it run. I just imagined what the day would be like 100 years from now. In 2045, I was a teacher in some school in a poor part of rural China. I started with Chinese history and history of science." So can you believe this? It was the computer or the software that created this, only based on the really small line of the first line of the novel. It's incredible. At the same time, if it's fed with a few paragraphs of, for example, a story from The Guardian about Brexit, it can really seem like a possible newspaper prose. It can even add quotes from Jeremy Corbyn, mention the Irish border, and even add answers from the Prime Minister's spokesman. For example, a paragraph that the software created was reading like this: "As to clarify the reports, a spokesman for May said the Prime Minister has made it absolutely clear her intention is to leave the EU as quickly as it's possible, and that will be under her negotiating mandate as confirmed in the Queen's speech last week." you can see why it can become dangerous in the wrong hands to have this software. At the same time, it can even be used to generate infinite positive or negative reviews of products. Spam and fake news are two other obvious potential downsides, of course. So even can create conspiracy theories and so on. So at this point, OpenAI are just are trying to develop more rigorous thinking here and trying to build the road as we travel across it. And today we finish this podcast with a really good news. The Vario headset VR1 has finally hit the market. Vario, for those who don't know, is a Finnish startup company that created this incredible, super realistic headset, which is called the VR1. They announced in 2017, and 20 months later, they are finally in the market, and they have fundraised over $46 million. The price tag for this headset is around $6,000. And the reason why everybody's been talking about it is because it's not only beautifully designed, but it's also has its own proprietary eye tracking solution with sub-degree accuracy. So the intended target includes companies in terms of architecture, engineer, construction, industrial design, healthcare, visual production, and so on. And its differentiation point is that not only has the eye tracking solution, but it's also been constructed with from the ground up with the absolute best in class. That's what their CMO Contori explained to the TechCrunch. So the really cool thing about Vario is that it's as accurate as it's in real life. In terms of pixels, it has more than 60 pixels per degree. So it's 20 times improvement on any other existing headset. And the really cool thing is that the eye tracker also automatically adjusts to the distance so that each user's experience depends on, or it's tailored to their own eyes rather than relying only on the physical slider. And design-wise, it's really clean minimalism that you can see from the Nordix design, and it's also been created to be upgradable because, as Vario's CMO has said, they are also building a mixed reality add-on so that it can adapt also to the companies that are going to use it. The VR1 platform runs on Steam and it supports most major professional software such as Unreal, Unity, Autodesk, and so on. And the product is available today in 34 countries, and it will be available for businesses and academic institutions. So good luck for them. Please let me know if you would like to share anything with us. I'll be happy to hear. And that's it for today. I hope to see you next on the next episode. Bye bye.